From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. This is another day, and we are going to have another great show for you. We're going to get into the details. What else is going on around the AFC West that the Chiefs are going to have to deal with this season? As we start to get ready for this draft, start may be a long point here. There's some news as well. Not only in Kansas City, but around the league. We're going to get to that here in a second. My name's Ryan Tracy. I'm the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RGR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you for listening. And there is a little bit of news to talk about.
Yeah, what ended up happening is it's been very quiet. We haven't seen Coach Reed in quite a while. You expect to see the pre-draft pressers from he and Brett Veach and getting ready for that. But there's a little distraction thrown in here now as there are charges brought against Brett Reed. The former assistant coach, Coach Reed's son, and it looks like it is going to get prosecuted. And I don't want to get into the details of that. I don't have any information that isn't widely available in the public. But what I will say is while the front office is pretty sheltered and is good at keeping their head down and staying out of things that they don't need to be focused on when they're getting ready for a draft, it does distract the coaching staff a little bit. I have to think that this does have an effect on evaluation, on time, on concentration, that kind of thing. And it's unfortunate because this is really the key part of getting ready for this draft to make your next roster that much better.
I mean, I could see that, but I could also see it going the other direction with the fact that trying to get away from this, you just focus even harder. So I think that it could go both ways. And I think, you know, Andy is going to have to deal with the fallout of what's going to happen with his son. And that's something that you know, obviously is going to be, you know, in the news over the next couple of months as it goes to trial. But I do think that he will be ready and this team will be ready for the draft.
I think they will have to be as well. And again, the staff gets together. They do communicate with the personnel staff, the front office. And I think that that's going to continue as it needs to. But that is that personnel department that's going to do the bulk of the work. And they have their hands kind of tied as we've gone through this, and I'm working on the draft guide from Rogue Analytics now. That will be out here probably within the next week as we wrap everything up. It occurs to me that their plan has to be on evaluating the talent, and things have changed for me at the offensive tackle position. We'll talk about need and stuff here coming up after the break, but just as I redouble down on the film, it just hits me that while, yes, there is a supreme need, there are less and less guys that are the meters of thresholds, the ones that you think are both athletically good enough and have the length that are good enough and have the film that are good enough. And I'm becoming less and less confident that unless they trade up into the top 20 to go after a guy that they may have in their top three or four, I think it might be a position that they choose to wait on and go in the second round, maybe.
Well, I could see that happening, but it's just going to be very hard to see them going that direction.
It is a challenge, I have to think. But at the end of the day, we'll know pretty readily. I'm going to do something here on RGR that's going to be a little bit different. And I want feedback after the fact, because I know you probably see this differently. But I would think in terms of the tiers of positional need, I think the Chiefs would probably have wide receiver nearly up there with the tackles. Am I off on that?
I wouldn't think so. I think that they feel like they're going to need an improvement there, and I do expect that they will address it. I just don't know where they're going to address it. If they move offensive tackle back to their second position of need, then I can see them taking a wide receiver in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can too. There's one that's growing on me pretty readily, and we'll talk about him coming up, because there's another wide receiver that made a little bit of news on Monday, and that is Julian Edelman. Didn't pass his physical, so the team released him. He was a free agent for about half a second, and then chose to retire. And normally I wouldn't say let's do news about a player for another team, but Edelman has had his way at times with the Chiefs. And I think that if you were going to see a bounce back from the New England Patriots and a run at those Bills, he was going to have to be part of it. So I think this is something that kind of clears the road for the AFC in 2021.
Yeah, definitely could. And I'm not surprised that he's retiring. His injury really took him out of it last year, so it doesn't surprise me. I think that they probably known for a while that it was going to happen, though.
Yeah, it's been an injury plagued couple of years for him. So, and it'll definitely look different when the Chiefs next face the New England Patriots. But that's not the only thing that is changing. A lot of teams in the AFC West are going through a number of very active off seasons. We're going to get started taking a look about what's going on in the AFC West the Chiefs have to be concerned about coming up next. But I want to give you guys a hint. The Athletic Matrix is out at rogueapc.com. It is every bit of research that I do on the athleticism of the draft class. And you can get a steep discount if you go to rogueapc.com and use the code MatrixLON. That will get you a nice little chunk. And we'll have the draft guide out very soon as well, likely next week. And that will be not just athleticism, but production. Everything the film doesn't cover. It's a great companion to go with your draft preparations. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are going to be back in full swing. And Bet Online even covers award shows, reality TV, all kinds of stuff. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. The promo code's locked on for BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We're covering everything you need to know about the Chiefs, but what about the rest of the league? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by Peter Bukowski, and it's all about sports, all you need, all the news every morning, and it's under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we're going to jump into what we're seeing from the other teams in the division this offseason. And our first team that we're going to be looking at is going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. Still weird to say that.
It is. It's tough. And I'll probably keep messing it up, you know, for another three or four seasons, probably. But yep. They have been active. I don't know if they have a plan, but they've been active.
Man, they've been extremely active. Let's just go through it really quick. These are the guys that they kept on their roster. Marcus Mariota, Richie Incognito, Jonathan Hankins, Colton Miller, Nicholas Morrow, Denzel Good, Niven Lawson, Derek Carrier, Zay Jones, Nathan Peterman, Theo Riddick, Daniel Carlson, Trent Sieg, Dallin Levitt, Andre James, Kendall Vickers, and that is it. That is who they've kept on their roster that was supposedly a free agent of some sort in 2020.
And they gave a huge extension to their left tackle, Colton Miller.
They did, and they also gave an extension to Andre James, who is their center. But then the interesting thing on that to me is then they went out and signed Nick Martin to a long-term contract.
Yep.
Not exactly sure what they're doing there, but maybe they're going to play, maybe they're going to, you know, change the NFL and go to a two-center system.
That'd be interesting. I mean, if anybody's going to do it, it's Carr, right?
Yeah, well. He's got to figure out where he's going to get the ball from because he can't figure out where it's going to go to at times. The interesting thing about the whole Andre James and the Nick Martin thing for me is that they, in order to do that, they had to trade away Rodney Hudson, who, in my opinion, is, I'll still say, the best center in the NFL. So very, very questionable to me. So here's a list of guys that have changed uniforms from the Raiders in 2020 to some other team. Carson McKinley is gone. Rodney Hudson is gone. Eric Harris is gone. Devontae Booker is gone. LaMarcus Joyner is gone. Tyrell Williams is gone. Trent Brown is gone. Raekwon McMillan is gone. Nelson Agholor is gone. And then you also have Gabe Jackson.
Yep.
Gabe Jackson and Malik Collins.
Yeah. It is.
So
it is.
Let's see. How many? What is that? Three offensive linemen?
You're turning your whole offensive line. Like, and maybe that's why maybe one of the centers ends up going to guard. I don't know. The churn there for somebody that it feels like they're trying to help Derek Carr overall. It just seems, I don't know. It seems like a lot of moving parts when you didn't need to do it.
Right. And you bring back the one person on the offensive line that I would have probably felt could go in Richie Incognito. So big question there. And honestly, people say that Colton Miller has been improving, and I guess maybe he has, but I still don't think he's worth the contract they gave him. So, I mean, time will tell, but that was a surprise to me as well.
Yeah, to me, this is clearly like what they feel he's going to grow into, and seeing all these contracts, the Trent Williams contract alone, boosting things up and trying to avoid some of that cost down the line. I do think that is a decent move on Mayock's point. I just don't know if I agree with the evaluation on Miller, but clearly – it feels like they're trying to add some offensive protection for their aging quarterback. Good for them. They did something curious as well. They have a first round draft pick in their running back room. And then they went and signed Kenyon Drake for an average of $7.25 million at the running back position.
Yeah. And I don't get it because their running back is a stud. Honestly, I'm not going to say I would take him over Clyde Edwards-Helaire because I don't think that he fits the system like Clyde does. But if Andy Reid had more of a power system, he is definitely one of the guys that I would be looking at trying to get because I think he runs it very well, and I think he's a very, very good running back. So why you're going to go out and pay Kenyon Drake $7.5 million, I don't understand because I don't understand, one, the value at running back for this team, and two, why you would pay somebody that is going to probably be your third down back at best that kind of money.
You know, I hate to sound like...
Maybe that's the only way they can get him there, but...
Right, yeah, absolutely. To me, this whole thing feels, and I hate to sound like a, you know, biased to one fan base or another. I try to remain neutral, but this feels like you're trying to combat the Kansas City Chiefs. You're trying to attack their weakness against the run. And I think the under the radar signing that really goes well with Henry Ruggs is John Brown. Like, they have speed at multiple places in the secondary now. And I think that's a direct attack against the Chiefs. And if that doesn't work, they're going to come back and try to hammer the ball.
You mean in their wide receiver room, not the secondary, but yes, I understand what you're saying.
I meant attacking the Chiefs secondary. Yeah.
Yeah. And they also brought in Willie Snead, who doesn't have necessarily the speed, but he is a guy that has had success against Kansas City in the past.
Oh, it's just good signing.
Yeah. So I get it from their perspective in that regard, but the problem that they're having is look at all their signings. Just about everybody that they signed is offensive. Their offense was better than average last year, and they continued to add more pieces as opposed to trying to help their defense, which was at the bottom of the league.
They brought back, what was it? They brought back Quentin Jefferson, signed Solomon Thomas, right? I think that's a gamble. I don't know that that's a definite plus. I think the one thing was Yannick Ngakoue.
Exactly. That's the one place where you can say they actually improved.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's that much better than what they've had, but where else do you say that they're better off than they've had?
Well,
you can't really look at any of their additions on the defensive side and say that they got better other than Ngakoue.
Well, and I'll also say this: Ngakoue has been through a couple of teams now and didn't have the success that he had originally in Jacksonville. So I don't even know that you can bet on that unless you're willing to tweak your defensive system to help him.
Well, and it's the question with him in Jacksonville is, was he just a part of the huge group that was there in Jacksonville that one time, and that's what made him successful, or was it actually him? Because you're right, he wasn't near as successful with the Ravens, and the Ravens have a good defense, so you have to question that.
Yeah, you definitely do.
I honestly think that it's, you know, is he an improvement over McKinley, who was one of their edge rushers last year? Yes. But is that going to be enough to improve your defense? Not even close. And, I mean, you can go through all the draft picks you want at your defense this year. It's not going to help you compete with Kansas City this year.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be
you had your chance. You had all this money that you went out and spent. And the thing that stands out to me here on this is Trent Brown, Tyrell Williams, and LaMarcus Joyner. The guys that they went and signed when they let go, when they traded away their stud edge rusher to the Bears. They went and signed those three guys, gave them big contracts, and said, we wouldn't be able to have these guys if we would have kept Mac on a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? All three of them are gone 2 years later. And what do you have left? Mac, in my mind, is still one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. So I think you lost in that trade.
Yeah, I think you can understand that. I mean, Ryan Pace hasn't exactly outpaced anybody over there in Chicago as well, but
it's true.
The defensive side is always interesting, and they're not the only ones trying to get something done. I think we need to take a look at what's going on in Denver as well. We'll do that coming up next. The chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics versus us do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing their prices based on whims like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or an account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend twice the money for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts.
All right, so if we switch over to the Denver Broncos, this is going to be interesting as well. They didn't have near the movement as some of the as the Raiders did, but let's just go ahead and look at who they did keep. Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson, Shelby Harris, Nate Hairston, Trey Marshall, Tim Patrick, Natrez Patrick, Deontay Spencer, Alexander Johnson, Austin Schlottman, Jonathan Harris, Calvin Anderson, Patrick Morris. Those are the people that they kept this year. They still have a whole bunch of free agents that are, they have that haven't been signed elsewhere. Jarrell Casey, AJ Bouye, I believe, just signed this past weekend. Will Parks, DeMar Dotson, DeMarcus Walker, Sylvester Williams, Anthony Chicolo, Joseph Jones, Devontae Busby, who played in Kansas City at one point, Austin Kleitro, Kevin Tolliver, Elijah Holder, Kyle Pecco, Jake Butt, and Troy Fumagalli. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised that Butt and Fumagalli, which are restricted free agents, aren't signed yet, so you would think that they're probably back in Denver.
Possibly. Jake Butt had a great college career. I don't know that you're ever going to see him on an NFL field. More power to him if he can get it done. And I think they maybe what they're relying on their offensive side, clearly, job number one in Denver is get a quarterback. All these rumors around moving around, being in on Deshaun for a while, although with his situation, everyone is backing away, according to Charles Robinson over at Yahoo. Troy's podcast partner, and from what I understand, the podcast will be back with Charles eventually, so keep that in mind. But quite frankly, with the Deshaun back away, I'm not sure. Now they're sitting at ninth in the draft, and I don't know if they're going to be able to get up to get a quarterback or not.
Yeah, and everybody looks at Atlanta for being the place to try to trade to go get a QB, and does Denver have the ability to go do that? Yes, they do. Are they going to be willing to do that? Maybe. I think the problem that you're going to have is that it's, at this point, you know who one and two are going to be. There's questions as to who number three is going to be. So are you willing to make a trade before the draft, not knowing who is going to be available?
That's tough. I mean, you're relegated to the fourth selection there. Whoever everybody else feels in the top three, you're out of it at that point. Maybe that's enough for them. I don't know. But clearly, the way that they've set up this offseason with their acquisitions and what they've let go, it is about the quarterback. I'm guessing that they're also going to backfill a lot of offensive line in that particular group because they haven't made many signings. What they have done is on the other side is a job number one, which is a little bit difficult because Von Miller did re-sign, but he had some off-the-field issues this particular offseason, a domestic disturbance thing that ended up being dismissed but was still kind of touch and go there for a while. But you bring him back. And that's great. You got Shelby Harris under contract. That's good as well for your front. The cornerbacks are new. The safeties they put the tag on Justin Simmons. Smart move because anybody would have grabbed him up. He's a very, very good player. And they did actually re-sign Kareem Jackson, which had escaped me for a little bit. So now their safety tandem is back. But they have Ronald Darby on one side now. And Kyle Fuller, Kendall's brother, is now in Denver. I would have loved to see him in Kansas City, not only this time, but the last time that he might have gotten not tagged or whatever. He is a very good player as well.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting that they were able to get him, and everybody was saying that made a lot of sense for the Broncos to go get him, and they did. And as I said, AJ Bouye is not coming back, so obviously they're set at the corner position, so they probably won't be looking there. Denver's going to be a team that you really need to watch because I'm not sure what they're going to do in the draft. I think that I thought Drew Lock was going to take a huge step forward last year. He didn't. To be fair about it, though, to him, he lost his best weapon early in the season. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know, yeah, Jerry Jeudy is a good receiver, and yeah, they have some other talent at wide receiver, but none of them are close to what they lost, in my opinion, at least at this point in their careers. Now, could they be? Yes, absolutely. But at least last year, they weren't. And honestly, the other side of it to me is they've really never helped Drew Lock with having a good offensive line in front of him. I mean, left tackle, their left tackle obviously played his ass off last year and got a contract and is playing a lot better. So that helps. But you still have other questions across the offensive line. So, you know, if you're going to go out and get a QB, you can. And this is where you'd want to do it. But man, I think that's a huge gamble for them, especially considering you're going to have to trade up to do it.
Absolutely. And they have Fisher Fry still. Yes, the return of Cortland Sutton is going to be a problem for a lot of teams. I think he is eventually going to become the second best receiver in this division after Tyreek Hill. That's a big thing to miss, but you got to get some more play out of Noah Fant. I know he had a decent season, but he's got to take a step forward. I think the quarterback makes that change, and I think that's why they're so focused on it. New GM George Payton is in place and has taken his time, a number of years, a number of offers that he passed on to get to this place. So it doesn't surprise me that they're bolstering defense for Vic Fangio because that's his bread and butter. And I think that they're looking to make a big splash, whether it is that trade up or maybe even despite, if we find out some things change with the validity of some of these allegations against Deshaun Watson, now that the Carolina Panthers are out of that race, maybe it's the Broncos and maybe you see Deshaun in this division.
I think he would be just as likely to go to the Denver Broncos as he would be to the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't think either of those is happening, but you know, you're right. The Carolina Panthers are out, and that is one of the top places that Watson was thought to be going. And obviously that's not going to be happening anymore. And that's a whole nother situation that maybe plays into the Broncos' hands, because now they have Sam Darnold. What are they going to do with Teddy Bridgewater? I've seen people say that maybe Bridgewater ends up in Denver.
Yeah, it's a possibility now that he's going to be on the trade block. I just can't think that, as maybe frustrated as they are with the development of Drew Lock, I can't see that Teddy Bridgewater looks like an answer for them. So I'd be more likely to expect them to do something bigger than that. But if they can't get it done, or they don't see the value, or they really can't give up that much for their future, maybe that is the answer for Teddy.
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I'm not saying that Teddy Bridgewater is the answer for the Denver Broncos, but what I will say is that when you look at their situation and you look at where they're drafting at 9, they're not going to get the QB that they want. The top three are already going to be guaranteed to be gone after the first three picks. I would not be shocked if the Patriots find a way to get up into the top 5 to get a QB themselves. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if there's 5 QBs that are gone in the first 8 picks. Wouldn't shock me.
Nothing will shock me, especially when we're pretty confident there's going to be 4.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I believe that there are 5 that should be drafted that high, but it only takes one team, and at that position, it's what you trade up and you risk everything for.
Well, and desperation at that particular position drives a lot.
Absolutely. Especially when you're looking, when you start looking at teams that have GMs or coaches that could be on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm. It's tough to make a desperate move and tie your future to a 22-year-old kid, but it happens every year, and it's going to happen this year as well. We're going to have to see how that shakes out, folks. Eventually, we'll know some more information, but we wanted to get these two rundowns in, and we'll continue. We'll talk about the Chargers here coming up, but we want to get these in to know where we are as the reset here a couple weeks before the draft. So we appreciate you taking the time and discussing the enemies today. I think that's always a good time. We appreciate all of the reviews you've been leaving us on iTunes. Please continue to do that. Hit that 5-star. Let us know what you want to hear about or what you think about the other AFC West teams. We appreciate you listening to us today, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.